chapter number 2. It's always good to be in church, amen? And Exodus chapter number 2. Find verse number 1 and let me know you're there by saying amen. The Bible says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off, to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go,' and the maid went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away, and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for Jesus. God, we thank you for this opportunity to still live in a free country. God, still have the opportunity to come into your house. God, to refresh ourselves, and God, to study a portion of your word. God, we thank you for this place, and God, we thank you for the God of this place. Lord, we pray now that you would bless the reading of your word and bless your people. God, don't let us say nothing that we don't need to, but all things that you'd have us to here tonight. Father, we love you and we thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. A very familiar story here of little Moses in the bulrush, and or little Moses in the ark. And where we find him here, there's a few things that I want us to look at about Moses and about the story, is that there was a detailed plan for the life of Moses. And there's a detailed plan for him. God had a plan for Moses' life, and God had a divine purpose for Moses' life, and God had something that was much bigger than the human eye could see for Moses. And it's not something that's just the personal agenda. It's not something that we all have hopes and dreams for our children, but God had something much, much bigger for Moses than what Moses' mother could see. Not only that, but we see a delight of providence here in the life of Moses at a very young age. We see that we still have a God that's on the throne. Amen. We still have a God He's got a hand that's bigger than our hand. He's got a heart that's bigger than ours. And when we look at this story and we see the providence of God in it, we see that the conditions here for this baby were not in his favor. We see that the conditions there were simply just a death sentence for little baby Moses. There's no scientific formula. There's no human reasoning on why Moses made it through this in particular point in his life. There's nothing that we can say or do to change that. There's no reason that he shouldn't have been eaten. There's no reason that he shouldn't have starved to death. There's no reason that Moses shouldn't have been thirsty or dehydrated or simply just baked in that Mediterranean sun. There's no reason for that but for the providence of God Almighty. And when we step back and we examine self, we can put ourselves in that very same position and see that had it not been for the providential hand of God Almighty, we'd be dead as well. And we see this providence of God, and I like it when certain situations happen and certain circumstances happen, and we get that call from the doctor's office that we really didn't want to get, and we get all these different things happen, and it cannot be explained any other way than it's just the hand of God's the only reason that we got the answer that we got. That it's just God is the only reason that we made it through that situation or that circumstance that we were in. It's just the providential hand of God is the only reason that we did. God is still God. God still can. God still will. God still wants to, in our very day and hour, do the same thing for us that He done for little Moses. We see here that there's a group of characters in this story that we could pick out, and of course the main character in this story would be Moses. That's the one that the eye catches when we read the story. We could think and try to dig a little bit and find something on Moses' father. And we could dig and we could talk about Moses' sister. But what I want us to look at tonight is I want us to look at this unnamed mother of Moses tonight, and I want us to look at some things that she does and examine her life. And she does some things and she's not a very popular person. And let me step out on a limb and say this, that it's okay not to be popular. Mamas and daddies, you don't have to be popular with your kids' friends and their parents. You don't have to do the same thing they do. Because let me say that my youngins' friends' parents may let them do things at their house that they ain't going to do at mine. Can I get a witness? We don't have to be popular. This unnamed mother, she wasn't on the front page of the Christian index. She wasn't the limelight of Christianity. She wasn't very well known. She's unnamed. Nobody knows her. But she's preparing here in this story to do something that is so significant that it affects each and every one of us as we sit here tonight. Those of us that are here and we hold this Bible in our hand. She done something that helped us have a man that I believe wrote the first 4 or 5 books of the Bible. She done some things to affect us even this far along in our world. We see that this baby here is, sure enough, her pride and joy. We see that this baby is what she's prayed for. Because it meant something. It was prize for them to have a man child, to be able to pass the name on and to be able to pass the heritage on. It meant something. It was even said that they may not even start counting that they even had children until they had a man child. And here she is, and this baby is her blessing. And she's sitting here, and there has been a decree given at about the age of this 3-month period, and she's done everything humanly possible to keep Moses quiet and to pepper him and to quieten the cries, because All through the night, she hears the cries of mothers up and down the street where she's at, and she hears them crying, "Don't take my baby. Don't kill my baby." And she's doing everything she can to protect little Moses, because she don't want her baby to be next. We find that she's trying to hide one of her biggest blessings. And sometimes our blessings are bigger than we can handle. And sometimes there's things that we have to do when these blessings come, because there's bruises that come with these blessings. There's times that we have to get beat up with these blessings. We have to take some punishment for these blessings. But when it gets heavy, when the blessing gets heavy, when it gets to where it's bigger than you or I can manage, we've got to put it down and we've got to let it go. Here's what I want to talk to you about tonight. I want to talk to you about this thought. Let go of your basket. I don't know about you, but I'm going to preach right where I'm living tonight. Okay, can I do that? There's times in our life that God blesses us, but our blessing outgrows us. Our blessing gets more than you or I, either one, can handle. And here I want you to notice this. There was her reluctance of letting go of this basket. This is her prized possession. This is her baby. And to protect him and to allow him to live, she has to let go of it. And I'll go on record and say this, that I've found myself being reluctant on letting go of some things and allowing God to protect them and allowing God to cover them and allow God to use them. I've been very reluctant on taking my hands off of it. Because you see, as long as I've got my hands on it, I'm still trying to control it. And God is doing what He can to tell us, hey, there's not another way. There's not another plan. I am the way. I am the plan. I've got it all figured out. You've just got to let me do it. And in this reluctancy, I see there's a dearness of this basket. And in this dearness, I mean, this is the child that she's prayed for. I've got friends, and some of you here may know exactly what I'm talking about. I've got friends that have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for God to bless them with a child. And God finally, after years and years of wait, God gives them a child. And this mother has done this very thing. She's prayed for this man-child. She carried him for 9 months. This is her baby. This is her answered prayer. And now she has big plans. I got big plans for my kids. Clean their room. Sweep, mop, wash dishes. Amen. Now we all have big plans for our kids. We want to dream big for our kids. We want our kids to exceed who we are and what we are and have more and have better than what we have. She's got plans for him. It's dear to her. May I say that if it's dear to you, it's much more dear to God. If it's something that means something to us, it means something to God as well. And here's what I believe what may have been said. I believe that God may have spoke to this mother and said, "Hey, listen, I know that you've got those plans. I know you've got those dreams. But if, mother, if you'll just listen to me, and you'll just let me have Moses, and you'll just do what I'm telling you to do and what I'm leading you to do, I'll just let Moses write those first 5 books of the Bible. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll let Moses lead the children of Israel out of bondage. I'll just use Moses if you'll just let my will be done in his life. So many times we as parents can hinder the will of God for our children, and we can hinder the will of God in our life and their life. God said, hey, I tell you what, said, if you'll let my will for his life be fulfilled, I tell you what I might do. I might just put him up in the cleft of the rock, and I'll protect him, and I'll cover him, and I'll let him see my glory when it passes by. If you'll just let me. I would hate to know that when I get to heaven one day, that I, Philip Swofford, have done something to hinder those four little Swofford boys from seeing and experiencing the glory of God passing by them one day. There was a reluctancy in her letting go of this basket. I've got a plan for him. I've got a purpose for him. I've got a perfect will for him. Just remember, it's dear to me too, is what God's saying. Here we see that not only was it dear, but here, I done got way ahead. Not only that, but there's a distance in this. It was dear to her. But there was a reluctancy in the distance that would be there. Here there's a great river, and we know the story of these crocodiles in that river. I ain't fishing there. Can I get a witness? Because I'd be a good meal for one of them. Somebody say, man, I'd fill them up. But there's crocodiles there. She knows the setting. This is a port of travel. And there's, she knows that as soon as she sets the basket down in the river and she takes her hands off of it, that it could be the last time that she gets to see it. It would be the last time that she could possibly hear that whimper or that cry of her baby. It would be the last time that she'd get to, I don't know about y'all, I may be weird and I can't smell a whole lot, but there ain't nothing smells any better than a baby that's just been rubbed down with baby lotion. I'm talking about that's just a great smell to me. She'd never get to smell that baby anymore. She'd never get to touch that baby anymore because of the distance that would be there. We can't give her too bad of a rap. If I turn loose, it's all gone. Then there's that danger of her turning loose of this basket. There's a danger here in turning loose of it in this river. I can see her there right now, and I know how I am. I overthink things sometimes. When I do think, I don't think a lot, but when I do, I overthink it. And here I see this mother in this situation, and she's sitting here and she's thinking, you know what? God's done things in the past and He really messed up. When God sent Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over there, and He sent them there to Babylon, He messed up. He really didn't know what He was doing. She's thinking, when Joseph went to Egypt, God didn't know what He was doing sending him over there. But let me say that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being in Babylon in the will of God is better, and being in that fire in the will of God is better than them being anywhere else out of the will of God. And Joseph being there the same way, being in the will of God, they're better off there. But Moses' mother could not see it. She could not see what God was trying to do. All she could see was the danger that was involved. There was a reluctancy in her turning loose of her basket. Then I see that her release of the basket. When she put him down, we know that the story, it reads there that it was sealed within and without. And there was a cover to go over it. Now y'all bear with me just a moment, okay? Don't get upset when I say this. Moses' mother, I believe, had come to a place in her life to where she said, if I'm going to lose him, and I'm never going to have a part of his life again, and he's got to die, I want to do anything I can to make it easy for him. And she's made this little ark, and she's put a cover over it. And I can see her there as she's sitting there and she's talking to little Moses. She said, "Now Moses, don't you cry. Everything's going to be okay, Moses." But she knows within her heart that just as soon as she places the cover over it, that Moses will probably take his last few breaths. And in hopes that he'll not feel the pain of the jaws of the crocodiles as she puts that on there. She's made this. This is Moses' final destination in the mind and in the heart of his mother. Maybe he'll just die here. Maybe he won't have to feel the pain. Moses' mother was desperate. There's desperation here in this release. Hey, I don't know about you, but it'd do us some good if we got desperate about some things of God. It would do us some good if we would get to the point to where we were saying, "God, I tell you what, I'm tired of putting my hands on it. God, I'm tired of holding on to it. God, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to turn loose of it. God, I'm just going to let you take over when I release my basket." Then we see that there's a release of defense. She's got to get rid of it. "Don't cry, Moses." And then we see where Pharaoh's daughter comes into the scene. And as Pharaoh's daughter comes in, we see here where Moses' sister Miriam's there, and she's pleading with God. She's begging God, "God, don't let her get there. God, don't let her see, because the natural thing," and we'll get to this in a minute, but "don't let her see little Moses in the bush. Don't let Moses cry. God, please keep him quiet." She was asking God not to do the very thing that God planned for Moses to do. And she comes and she's begging. And they, we so many times are so busy trying to tell God how to fix our problems, such as what she was doing, that we can't see or feel or hear what God's trying to do for us. Saying, "God, don't let..." And all of a sudden, she saw the little ark. And as she sees the little ark, what the mother and what Miriam thought was the worst thing that could ever happen was the best thing that could ever happen to Moses. And here we see a release of difficulty. The will of God is not an easy thing. Can I get a witness? Anybody agree? The will of God is not easy. It's hard. It's a hard thing. When we see and we compare the will of God, how many of you know what wampum biscuits are? Anybody? Wampum. You wampum on the counter, and they pop open and you stick them out. Wampum biscuit. Hey, I like them. I ain't gonna I like them. But you know, to make real biscuits, you got to use a little flour. Used to, you used a little bit of lard, a little bit of buttermilk. It takes some time. It's not easy. Because I'm going to go ahead and tell you, not everybody can make good homemade biscuits. Can I get a witness? It's not easy to make them. And being in the will of God is not an easy thing. It's hard. It hurts. It's not what everybody makes it out to be sometimes in living in the will of God. What Moses' mother proves to us here is that we can't always track God, but she proves to us that we can always trust Him. We can't always see what God's next move is in our life. We don't always know what's just around the corner. But we can always trust Him in our lives. There's a release of difficulty when she releases the basket. Let me ask you, and we still got a little bit to go. Let me ask you, have you got a basket that's full of something that you need God to get a hold of and you need to turn loose of? Hey, there's times that we white-knuckle it. We hold on to it because our ways we think are better than His ways, in knowing that they're not. Then lastly, I want you to notice this. There's a result in letting go of the basket. There's a result in letting go of the basket. There is a sovereign result in letting go of the basket. God can do what He wants to. God will do what He wants to. God is going to do what He wants to without anybody's approval. It doesn't matter whether we agree with Him or not. We may hinder it, but God's still able to do what He wants to do and needs to do in our lives. We see where He filled John the Baptist with the Holy Ghost while he's in his mama's womb. He started turning cartwheels and all that. That hair lip some Baptists, wasn't it? Amen. I'm talking about they just lose their mind over that. But here's the thing. He's never done it before. He's never done it again after He'd done it that one time. That's sovereignty. Never before and never again. Here, the crocodiles are in the water. That little basket sitting in the water. And I believe that God had a conversation with them crocodiles, Brother Mike. And I believe that's what He said. He said, "Hey boys, come over here real close to me. Listen to what I got to say. There's going to be a little baby put in an ark, and you're going to see him floating in the water. But don't get your stinking teeth nowhere close to him, because I've got a plan for him." And in a crocodile-infested river, we see where that baby sits there and he floats. That's the sovereignty of God. Because He can do that. Mama can't, Daddy can't, but God can. We see that He has that. He said, "I got a divine purpose. I've got a divine plan for this little baby. He's going to do all these great things. I don't need you to hinder it." We see the sovereignty of God in Daniel in the lion's den, where He shuts the mouth of those lions and Daniel's there. We see that over in the book of Matthew, there was y'all's favorite time of the year, about April 15th. Anybody like that day? They was about there and they needed a little money. And y'all know about the fish that God talked to and said, "Hey, go over there." And I'm paraphrasing. He said, "Go over and get some money." And when they dropped the hook down in the water and they jerked him out, that fish had some money in his mouth. And just so happens to be enough for what they needed. That's the sovereignty of God. Because He can do that when we can't. I believe that they done like old Jimmy Houston. I believe they kissed that fish right in the mouth. What y'all believe? I'm going to keep fishing for one of them. I ain't never caught one with money in his mouth. But here we see that sovereignty of God. We see that this is something that we need to live as an example. We need to live today. But then there's a supernatural result. We're used to figuring things out. We're used to doing it ourselves. Pharaoh's daughter shows up and sees this baby. And what is naturally and what is supposed to happen because of the hatred there, she's supposed to go over there and drown that baby. And she's supposed to stick her foot on there until the bubbles quit coming up and jerk that baby up and take it to her daddy and say, "Daddy, look what I've done." And daddy's supposed to applaud her. But about the time that she pulls the cover back, I believe the Holy Ghost went over there and pinched Moses right on the inside of the leg and made him start squalling. And the Bible said, we read it, that she had compassion on him. There's nothing that'll tear a woman's nerves up anymore than hearing that cry of a baby. Had Moses just laid there, who knows what would have happened. But that baby began to cry and she showed compassion on him. And that is, holding him down is the natural thing, but what took place is the supernatural thing that happened. here we see that result of the supernatural. Can you imagine what's going on in that palace of Pharaoh? Can you imagine that after everything that takes place where Moses' mother pretty much raises him and then turns him back over to her, and they get back and to the palace of Pharaoh, and she carries him up and says, "Look, Daddy, look what I've got." He said, You really like him?" "Oh yeah, Daddy." And all y'all boys in here, y'all know how daddies are with little girls. And I can't stand it because my sister's got my daddy wrapped around her little finger. And she moves it, just shakes her hand, and he chokes and can't breathe and just whatever she wants. He's all for it. Makes me sick. He says, "Boys, y'all fend for yourself." He's probably got everything willed to her. Who knows? Pharaoh's daughter, she was daddy's heart. She goes walking in there with that little Hebrew boy, and I see Pharaoh saying, "You really like him? Oh, Daddy, I just love him. I just love him." And then Pharaoh's buddies come over there, and they say, "Hey, Pharaoh, do you know you got a little Hebrew walking around in there?" He said, "That's Pawpaw's little boy. Done fell in love with him too. Let me show you some pictures of what me and him caught the other day. We went fishing." Pharaoh's all about this little Hebrew boy. That's satisfying results. Because had Moses' mother not done what God told her to do and what God led her to do, the outcome would have been totally different. I believe that when they went back, Moses' mother's sitting there, and she's been weeping and she's been crying over the loss of her little baby. Myron's coming back with Moses, saying, "Mama, it's okay. Moses is alive. He's okay." She said, "Oh, hon, you ain't got to comfort me in that way. I know we'll see him again one day." "No, Mama, you don't understand. Moses is still alive." Had she not let go of her basket, where would Moses be today? Let me ask you, is there some things that you need to turn loose of? Some things that you're holding on to? And you're not letting God have His perfect will in your life. What's hindering us today? God's never early. God's never late. God's right on time. And as though He was in this story, so He can be in our life. Let go of your basket. Father, we love You tonight. God, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we pray now that You would take it, and God, may it work in our hearts and in our lives. God, may we forever know that we can have Your will in our life, and it won't be easy. But God, all we got to do is just let go of our basket. Father, we thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.